Coming down the aisle at a combined weight of 436 pounds, the team of Jeffrey Martin, Brian Berga, the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
And that can only mean one thing. That means you're listening to the High Spot Podcast. Catch us on Twitter at High Spot Podcast. I am Brian Berga alongside my tag team partner, Jeff Martin. We are the Jersey Wrecking Crew. Couldn't be happier to do this with you guys here each and every week. So just drink it in, man, because I'm doing it as well. Jeff, how you been? It's been a while, dude.
I am doing good, man, but this weather, I'm telling you, it just, Orlando cannot get here soon enough. So I'm so looking forward to, we're just a few weeks away now.
Oh, I have tunnel vision right
road
now.
Road trip. Yeah, but man, this weather has been brutal. But you know what? You got spring training in Florida with our teams, our baseball teams, and of course, NCAA tournament started. So you get the spring stuff going on, but you still don't get the weather. So
yeah, I just wish it felt like spring rather than all these events happening around it, though, Jeff. But you know, you like to think you feel that moment in the time of the seasons because, you know, us living in the East Coast, which people listen to the show, if you weren't aware, if we do, you get the changing of the seasons. I don't know, Jeff, could you really see yourself? I know you're going to love Orlando, Florida. Could you really see yourself just dealing with one type of season every single day?
Well, I mean, you know what they say. If you go there, oh, okay, you're going to deal with tornadoes and the hurricanes and the rain. But you know what, though?
Listen, bring it on.
Bring it on. I just dug out of how many inches did we get? Maybe like 12 inches. And here's another thing I have against weathermen. You know, they, for all the stuff that they say, if they could be accurate just one damn time. We're expecting Armageddon, right, Brian? Like early in the
Snowmageddon.
I know Brian was held captive in New York for a few days. You didn't get to go home. So, I mean, if the weather people could just get something accurate. Here I am preparing. You know, I wake up at 5 in the morning the next day, and, like, it's still no snow. And then all of a sudden, you know, we don't get the quality amount. They get sleet, which makes it even worse. It's just brutal, man. Like, I'm telling you, Florida cannot get here fast enough, man. And I know I've been bugging you, but NCAA tournament is on the way, too. So, time to
Oh, my bracket's already messed up, man.
Because you're going to lose, and I'm going to win. So just putting it out there.
Okay. But well, for those listening, Jeff's a very compulsive liar. He's not that good of a liar, so you can definitely tell he was joking around there and didn't really believe it himself. But you're right, Jeff. I mean, with all these things like—
Spring is in the air. Spring is in the air, my friend.
Spring's not in the air. But what is in the air, though, is, you know, the road to WrestleMania. And what really gets you, for example, you talked about the NCAA tournament, spring training for baseball, all these things that lead up to a certain season. It is WrestleMania season for us, not just spring. But something that also really got me into it, too, is Jeff and I, we went to WrestlePro in Rahway, New Jersey. And it
really got
me motivated to the fact that, you know, a lot of people sometimes like to discredit the indie scene, saying, you know what, if it's not, you know, one of the major companies like the WWE, and, you know, now you have Impact Wrestling, Lucha Underground, Ring of Honor, New Japan Wrestling. But I really feel like a company like WrestlePro has it right. They have the right mindset where they're giving their fans what they want, and at the same time, they're giving other talent opportunities. And to me, it's just a great combination of everything because you really see people really enthusiastic about something that, in my mind, is going to be very special.
Yeah, man, thoroughly entertained. We got there. That was the first time in Rahway, first time at the Recreation Center, and it was legit. We got there. We sat down. We were walking around. We saw all the merch. You walk in, and you see you see Joey Ryan, you see Pat Buck, you know, then you see, you know, just everybody in the atmosphere, which is great. And I mean, it's legit. You walk in there, it looks like an arena. You know, they give you that feel. And we actually caught up with our buddy Dave Destruction, who's on commentary over there, and he's doing his own thing for WrestlePro. And he's telling me, you know, that they wanted to put like kind of a Titantron feel to it, but you know, they, you know, I guess time constraints or something. But let me tell you, that was really legit, and I had such a great time. And you know, we're gonna do it again. And the next time that they're gonna be in action is gonna be actually at WrestleCon in Orlando on March 30th. So we're gonna definitely try to catch that. And you know, just bigger and better things are up and coming for WrestlePro. I got to say, it was very impressive.
Yeah, it's very exciting to see all the talent there and definitely run by Pat Buck, and he's doing a great job. And he really has an inside perspective on it, but you can definitely tell he's very enthusiastic and motivated for it, which just goes by the quality shows that we constantly keep seeing. And you, Jeff, you definitely know, because it's going to be Orlando and it's WrestleMania weekend, you're going to have a lot of intensity. You know, in Rahway, New Jersey, it was great. That's kind of where they do their main shows, like you told me, but I have a feeling we have yet to see anything special, and I think Orlando is going to be really, really special. So yeah, can't wait to see our boy Dave Destruction, and obviously all the talent that's there, and get to know them more, and you know, keep promoting this wonderful promotion of WrestlePro.
Yeah, Pat Buck was saying how this is going to be, you know, all in on this in Orlando, and just to tell you how WrestlePro caters to the fans, I was reading on Twitter, Michael Elgin, who Ring of Honor star and New Japan star now. He had bookings available on the 20th and 29th. He put it on Twitter. He goes, I'm free the 20th, 29th. And I'm thinking, oh, okay, cool. It's good for any promotion to try to get Michael Elgin on. And then what I see the next day on Facebook and on Twitter, booked, Michael Elgin will be at WrestlePro on April 29th in the Starland Ballroom in New Jersey. How awesome is that? I don't know whether it's a negative or not, or Bri. And again, I don't want to come on here every week and, you know, say the same thing about Raw. But it just continues to underwhelm. And if you only saw the last 15 minutes of it, then you kind of basically saw the whole show. And what's going to be interesting on this show, and of course, let's not forget, we got Rob Schamberger joining us, WWR's extraordinaire, on the show today. So let's get that out. First and foremost, Rob will join us on this week's episode. So can't wait for this interview. It was a really good one that we did with him. But Rob just does not seem to me to get it. You have SmackDown Live that comes on Tuesdays, and you see that they're edgy. You see that they pull off real life stories, and they, you know, incorporate them into the storylines. And you've seen a rivalry of Miz and Cena, and that's kind of been taken over by Nikki and Maryse. And you're like, that's what we want to see. But for some reason, Raw just doesn't get that and waits for the last 15 minutes of the show to give you that. And I still think that it just happens over and over and over again. And so instead of going through everything on Raw, I'm just going to tell you that the last 15 minutes of Raw was, you know, just the whole episode. I mean, it was great. You had, you know, you had conversation with Triple H and Mick. You had Seth Rollins get beat by a Triple H. It just had everything you wanted to see in the lead up to WrestleMania.
I think where Raw and SmackDown, in terms of their competition, where Raw fails, Jeff, and you and I have discussed about this so many times on the show, but also so many times off air as well, I just don't feel the sense of realism with Raw that I do with SmackDown Live. I mean, we talked about how, you know, putting the emphasis and the focus on talent like Stephanie and Mick Foley, we talked about how that's not the way it should be, because it should be about the talent, and the talent should express themselves and have their own storylines where people can be invested or somewhat relate to it, whether it's something completely far-fetched or something very personal, like you would get with, you know, Mick Foley and the interaction he had with Triple H. It got personal, and it got to the point where, are they shooting with each other, or are they planning this? You never know. And that's what causes the best TV, in my opinion. Now, SmackDown is kind of doing the same thing of Raw, but at the same time, you know, the whole situation between AJ and Shane McMahon, you can tell why it's personal. You could tell why AJ is feeling the way he is against Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon. So that's what's the big difference. The way SmackDown Live is able to implicate real life and personal situations into the storylines they're using, and it becomes believable enough where you're like, maybe, you know, I should invest a little bit more into this because I can see either person's perspective on it. Raw has a very difficult time doing that.
Yeah, that's why with the Miz and Cena thing, which we thought was going to be bad, I remember as soon as we heard the rumors that this was going to happen, we're like, oh man, really? And then actually it's been one of the bright spots on SmackDown and what's making us watch it, because the Miz and Maryse, and they're just, you know, they're just pulling out all the stops here, saying everything that all the fans truly believe. So I think that's why, you know, we're invested in that. And the whole AJ Shane McMahon thing, too, really got real, with the exception of why would there be a camera angle right where the, you know, where the glass mirror is and Shane McMahon's head's going right through it.
Which, yeah, they have a camera inside the car. Yeah,
yeah, which is kind of eh, but still. I'll look past that because I think everything else was done well.
Well, maybe the owner of the car is very, you know, self-conscious, and you know, he wants to make sure
the system inside the
security
car,
system. So he wants to make sure nobody steals his car. Yeah, definitely.
But and hopefully I didn't lose my train of thought, which I might have. But
maybe the first time.
No. Well,
Well, you're comparing the two shows.
What upsets me is that what? Here's what bothers me about the whole AJ Styles and Shane McMahon thing is that, you know, Renee Young and Daniel Bryan will go on Talking Smack, and they'll talk about how you blame everybody, you know, and when you don't get your way or you don't earn your spot. But what bothers me is that put yourself in this, in that same situation. Mm-hmm. And if you think about this, and if you do this in a court of law and with peers, I really don't think that they would agree with the opinion that Daniel Bryan and Renee Young have. That, especially Renee Young, when she's on Talking Smack, she says he blew it. What did he blow besides one match? He didn't get his rematch at all against Cena. He gets put in the Elimination Chamber. He, you know, he allegedly wins that over the top rope battle royal for the number one contendership. He beats Luke Harper twice, and you know, because he has that bad day against Randy Orton, which was a very competitive match, he blew it. That's what bothers me. That's why. How can AJ Styles not feel like he's being screwed over when technically he is being screwed over? If anything, like we said in last week's show, it should be a triple threat match. There's no way that AJ Styles did anything whatsoever, in my eyes, that he doesn't deserve to headline WrestleMania. If we're, you know, if we're talking in the reality of these storylines, that I would side with AJ Styles. And I don't know what it is, but whether I'm just, you know, it's in my way of being aggressive, but or the Republican in me, Brian, the Republican in me. But to me, AJ Styles has every right to take his aggression out on Shane McMahon.
Yeah. When you talk about Talking Smack, the way Renee Young and Daniel Bryan make it out to be to the general audience is that, you know, AJ crossed the line because he put his hands on his boss. Before you knew it, we were cheering people like Stone Cold Steve Austin, who did the exact same thing that we wanted to do in terms of beating up your boss, which he did against Vince McMahon. The thing where it loses its believability, I guess, if you want to use that word, because this is wrestling and this is a storyline, what they do a great job of is the mere fact that, you know, whether you're a heel or you're a good guy, Jeff, you believe you're right. Where I think it fails in terms of storyline, because if we use logic in this, Jeff, I was like, what, a couple of maybe a month ago, I was saying kind of the same thing you're saying too, and then, you know, you reminded me. Like, this is logic. To use logic in wrestling, we've had several guests too.
I'm piggybacking off of you, what you were saying, and I thought about it, and the more and more, the final outcome is down deep, if that was me, mm-hmm. I'd do the same thing. I'm fighting for my career. I'm getting screwed over, and what I hear are the hypocrites that, oh, you blew it. How did I blow it? Explain to me how did I blow it.
He jumped through every hoop for them, and so they look like hypocrites.
Except against Randy Orton, which was the final leg of it.
Yeah, that's the main focus, I think, of all of it, Jeff, though. They talk about opportunities, right? And how many times did Renee Young and Daniel Bryan say opportunities, right? But here's the thing. Randy Orton gave up his opportunity. He earned it by winning the Royal Rumble. He gave it up. And then he just
quit.
And they hold the Battle Royal, and he kind of holds up SmackDown Live and the general manager and commissioner to kind of come up with something. He finally did. And then Randy Orton changes his mind. He's like, oh, you know what? I do want the opportunity. Oh, okay, so we're going to give him that chance. Why? He doesn't deserve it because he gave it up. And that's basically it. So in a real world, if you were to, you know, for example, quit your job and then leave and then come back the next day and say, you know, I changed my mind. I'm sorry. No, we have every right to give the opportunity to somebody else who actually earned it, which was AJ Styles. But
mind
this is where
you,
I feel
Brian,
they failed. This is where they failed, though, Jeff. They failed because Daniel Bryan goes out there and says, you know, blah, 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 I've lost all respect for him. You know, it's funny how Daniel Bryan loses respect for AJ Styles when Daniel Bryan now is becoming the main thing which he fought against his entire career in the WWE, an authority figure. And secondly, he goes out, and this is where I think they made a mistake in terms of storyline, where he goes out and says, you know, Shane was actually for AJ to get that opportunity. AJ should be more mad at me because I'm the one who wanted to give Randy Orton that shot. Shouldn't it be the other way around? Because then it would give AJ more of a reason to be angry at Shane, because he's not going to do anything to Daniel Bryan. So for Daniel Bryan to take the blame, say, this is all on me, he should be mad at me. So what? He's never going to touch you. He can't touch you, so why are you saying that Shane's in favor of him? Because now you're just making it to be the storyline doesn't make any sense. It should be Shane who doesn't believe in AJ Styles and wanted Randy Orton to get an opportunity. Because if anybody should believe in AJ Styles, it should be Daniel Bryan, because he even said it himself on the show. We came up the same way. So that's where I'm confused a little bit with the storyline.
And you might also want to say that, yes, AJ Styles did put his hands on Shane McMahon, but Randy Orton did set fire to another man's house. and nothing. There's no repercussions. There's no repercussions. I've lost all respect for Randy Orton. No, I haven't really lost respect for him. He burned a man's house down. Yay, Randy. You know? Yeah. Like,
and if I was AJ Styles, for those comments that he made on Talking Smack and the point where he fired AJ Styles, I'd be like, I lost respect for you, Daniel Bryan, because you're the epitome of what you hate, and that's what you are now. You're an authority figure, and you're just a puppet, basically. He does what he's told to do.
Yeah, so, I mean, if we look at it that way, we know what WWE is doing, but if you're looking at it from the fan, they're still going to look for AJ Styles because they're picturing themselves as if they were getting screwed over by the WWE, and it's just...
But I think the audience is more in the favor of AJ. This is the point, basically, we're making. I think the audience is more in favor of AJ because they see the injustices that the supposed good guys are doing, and so that's where it's going to pose a pretty interesting storyline. Even AJ talked about it in a recent interview. He was like, you know, he tries to make the audience boo him, but, you know, he sometimes is a little shocked that they still cheer him, but also he's a little taken back by it. He does take it as a sense of honor in him because, you know, we respect him so damn much. Same thing with Chris Jericho. He can go out and do the whole list of Jericho thing, but we're going to respect him a lot because we know what he's done, where he's come from, and basically whatever he does is entertain to us, so that's why we cheer him.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, getting back to Talking Smack, it did kind of, you know, underwhelm for the first time in a long time. It was just, wow. It didn't even get to the whole AJ Shane McMahon thing up until like maybe 5 minutes after the segment. They're talking about, oh, how beautiful Pittsburgh is of a city, and how he did a sit down, Daniel Bryan did with Kurt Angle, and they did like a panoramic 360. Excuse me? One of the heads of SmackDown just got his head smashed into the car window, and you're leading off with that. That kind of was also a little bothersome to me because I'm like, wait a minute. Well, we just saw like something major happen, and we're talking about how beautiful it is to walk into the airport and see the bridge in Pittsburgh. I mean, that was kind of like threw me off too. But it's the first time in a long time that to me Talking Smack underwhelmed. But the constant is, Bri, we keep talking about SmackDown more than Raw.
We do. That has been the constant. When you're talking about Talking Smack, though, Jeff, in all defense, they have been hitting out of the park for a good amount of time now. So it was just a matter of time before they underwhelmed. And, you know, I don't think it'll be the first time that ever happens. It won't be the last time that happens with Talking Smack or these post-show type of programs they have on the network. But, yeah, I mean, the reason why we're talking about SmackDown Live so much, Jeff, is because it's the only thing that's relatable. I mean, you want to talk about underwhelming? You want to talk about how Raw was underwhelming, how Talking Smack was underwhelming? What I'm disappointed in the most is the fact that this WWE Championship match, in my opinion, and people can disagree with me on our Twitter account at High Spot Podcast, this title match is to me a little bit underwhelming. We went with burning Sister Abigail's, you know, whatever was left of her remnants, burning the house down, and now supposedly Bray Wyatt has regained his power. I mean, this is stuff, Jeff, you and I used to like a lot when we were kids, and I see that they're drawing towards that type of audience. But this storyline isn't really going anywhere. As personal as it was in the beginning with Randy Orton fighting Bray Wyatt and then joining the Wyatt family and betraying him, which I thought was a pretty good idea, something different, it hasn't lived up to, I would feel, the WWE's expectations.
See, I don't think that. I think that kind of veered off track a little bit. It kind of did get weird this past Thursday. But I think in general, the fact that they've built a long storyline and it's led up to a match at WrestleMania between Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton, I think that's been done right.
But has that whole storyline sold you on it, Jeff?
I just want to see where it goes. Did it veer off a little bit off the beaten path this week? Yes. But am I still excited to see Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton? Yeah, because I think that I'm not going to let 1 week where it veered off a little bit kind of like, you know, poo-poo what's been like a good...
So what you're telling me is you're excited for this main event, the supposed main event for the title match between Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt. This storyline has sold you, be like, wow, I want to see that match.
Well, to the point where not in general, because of course I want to see AJ in the main event, but to see this is, you know, something new, and the fact that they're committed to it, fine, I will give it a chance.
You threw AJ in there, though, Jeff.
I said, would I have liked AJ to be in it? Yeah.
Now with him and Shane McMahon, that's going to happen, and then Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton. Which match are you looking forward to the most?
AJ and Shane.
There you go.
Because it got to that personal point, because it's more
they sold it.
They did, yeah. But, I mean, they still have 2 weeks. I'm going to wait. And now if next week it's comes off, and you know, might have a different tone, but I'm just not going to give it all. I'm not going to go crazy because they veered off the path for 1 week. We'll see. We'll see what happens. I tend to be more like you. They will kind of find a way to mess it up leading towards Mania, but I think it is a fresh kind of rivalry between Bray and Randy where, you know, they'll still put on a good match. We'll see if you're right that it's not going to be as much anticipated with the storylines in the next few weeks, but I'm going to give it a chance and not just go crazy off 1 week where it kind of looked like, you know, very, you know, something that would appease to a 11 or 13-year-old.
Okay, well, that's fair enough, I guess. You have 2 weeks, but in my opinion, if you're waiting 2 weeks to do this now after the whole time they've built up the storyline longer than AJ and Shane McMahon, there's something a little wrong there, or at least for me. I'm not really relating to it as much, but something else that's returned, Jeff, was return to the table with Pete Rosenberg, somebody who we met at SummerSlam. You know, we talked about having him on the podcast. He agreed to it. We're still reaching out to him. Hopefully we'll be on at some point in some time, especially him and Sam Roberts as well. But what did you think of that show? I mean, I guess it's another version of Talking Smack, but here he had guests Corey Graves and JBL. Last time he had Paul Heyman and JBL. What did you think of the show, and did it kind of reach the type of questions that you as a fan and ourselves as well that we bring up because we want to discuss them because all these other shows on the network don't really go that way?
I like the show. I like Pete Rosenberg, what he does. He seems to be a lot like JBL's punching bag on the show, but he does bring the valid points. My issue is not Pete Rosenberg. I think the show is well done. The topics are what the – I think it kind of tries to bring in the smart wrestling fan to what we want to talk about because they did bring, you know, the Goldberg-Lesnar. They talk about AJ Shane. But Corey Graves adds a great feel to it because – he said it flat out. AJ Styles and Shane McMahon does nothing for him. And I think the gripe that everybody has is that we want to see AJ Styles against Samoa Joe. We want to see him against the Finn Balor. We want to see him in one of those dream matches because the roster is amazing. Don't tell me and again, it's not anything towards Shane McMahon. But look, I thought that at the Undertaker, where else can you go after falling off the Hell in a Cell? What more can you do? Like, your time to be a full-time – do you remember when he got knocked out at the Survivor Series and he was just, like, you know, just lost his wit's end? And it was, wow, you're like, okay, Shane, don't need anything more to prove. You've had your match with Kurt Angle. You've fallen off the Titantron. You've fallen off Hell in a Cell. You know, okay, we like you more as that – you know, as that face, you know, behind the scenes. And it obviously looks like he's sticking around in the WWE much longer, you know, because, you know, we saw the confrontation between AJ and Shane at Gorilla. But you want to see those dream matches with AJ. So I love Corey Graves' perspective. What bothers me about the show is it seems like JBL, his answers, it's like he's representing the WWE. And he's giving us the, like, duh, this is why we do. This is why we bring the part-timers. Because in the Attitude Era, we didn't need part-timers. You had Stone Cold, Steve Austin, and The Rock, which is kind of a shot at the rosters today because I think that the roster is deep. So what I don't like about it is JBL being a company guy and giving his corporate responses to the show. That's what bugs me about it.
Not only corporate responses, Jeff, but he undermines all the questions as if they're so a waste of his time in terms of being repetitive. And honestly, even Paul Heyman did that to an extent the first time he was on that show as well, of really taking the questions that a lot of us are always wondering and thinking and saying, similar to what JBL, kind of really undermining and making be like, well, what do you guys want? As if we, the smart marks, as they call, are basically wasting our time or just are taking it way too seriously and way too emotional. Well, you know, it's a business too. We're investing our money in you. We should be getting our money's worth, but at the same time, I guess it's fair to say you can't please everybody.
Yeah, because here's my thing. If you don't like the whole AJ Shane thing, right, Corey Graves gave his reasons why, and it was kind of spoke for the fans. JBL would be like, well, Shane McMahon, think of all his matches he has with Kurt Angle. Yeah, but he's lost how many of them? Can you tell me how many he's won? Right, yeah.
And even
so
if JBL,
that's not what he's gonna tell me.
Even if JBL marked all those people down that he fought, like Kurt Angle, for example, which one of to me is the greatest match Shane McMahon has ever had in his career,
which is why JBL will come to you and be like, "Well, that's why he's at WrestleMania, right?" We get it.
And get it's it. Like, yeah.
We know you're smart. We know you're smart, JBL. But
I just wish Pete Rosenberg would come back. I know he's being very respectful, and that's basically what you're doing because you don't want to talk back to the talent. It's basically a show for that reason. You don't want to overstep your boundaries. But I wish he would just throw it back. Yes, he's won. He's fought against Kurt Angle. How long ago was that against Kurt Angle? Does the general fan really know about that? No, the fan wants to see him against Samoa Joe, him against Finn Balor. How about something different? Can we see him in Orton again in a main event match for the title? Can we see him in Bray Wyatt? Can we see something different? But, you know, like you said, that show, good idea, like the concept of it, but I don't think it's going to be very successful because, like you said, a guy like Corey Graves adheres to, you know, us, the casual fan. Or not the casual fan, the diehard
but
fans.
But Corey Graves is great in whatever he does, man. He's just killing it.
He's amazing, and I've even mentioned on the show, too, listening to Corey Graves talk and dissect things and explain things and the dynamic in which he does is something I look forward to listening to, not only, but also trying to learn from as well, because I feel, Jeff, you and I are right in that same category where Corey Graves is, where we see this and we dissect it and we try to break it down. We don't try to be like whiners, but we tell our honest truth about something. If we don't like it, we don't like it, and we tell you why.
Listen, so again, I'm not trying to defend Pete Rosenberg. That's not what I'm trying to do. Or, you know, I haven't seen Sam Roberts on these shows, but I get it where Pete Rosenberg is going. You're invited to do something. You've made your name on Hot 97 on ESPN Radio, on the Michael Kay Show. So you made your name. You're a wrestling fan. You've been invited to do this. You're starting out. The last thing you want to do is step on any toes.
Well, we'll see what happens. We'll see how often the show comes on the air because it's been a while. It's not going to be a weekly show. I guess it's going to be a special for whenever it comes on, Jeff. But we'll see. I mean, depending on the guests
you have.
Yeah,
They'll be there WrestleMania weekend, so they'll definitely shoot one there.
Oh, joy. I can't wait to see that one. So we'll see what happens in terms of guests he has because you're right. Corey Graves is more, for me, talks to us and our perspective as opposed to JBL, who's a company man. And I think he's just kind of fed up with all the internet smart marks out there and just kind of wants to, you know, throw fuel on the fire, basically. He just doesn't really care too much about the questions because in his mind, I don't feel like he thinks it's a legitimate question, but we'll see what happens with that. But something we're looking forward to more than, you know, that show posting an episode at WrestleMania weekend was talking to Rob Schamberger, Jeff. We had an opportunity to speak with him.
I know, man. Great, great guy. A great guest. I mean, he joined us actually kind of the same time last year. It's his WrestleMania season, so we had to have him on. He's been quite the talk of everywhere, you know, doing the rounds with the media. So glad he gave us a few minutes. He's going to be at WrestleMania Access, but not on the outside. No, he's going to be on the inside doing his thing. So it's great to catch up with Rob Schamberger, talk about his artwork, talk about everything that he's doing. You can follow him on Twitter at Rob Schamberger. And I mean, you know, we caught up and we asked him just about, you know, what's he been up to? It's been a year since we talked to him. And here's the latest on our interview with Rob Schamberger.
All right, Jeff, finally get a chance to get a break from listening to you talk. We have a great guest on. Looking forward to it. It's been about a year. And it's funny how...
Where does the time fly, man?
It's funny how fast it goes by, man. But, you know, it is WrestleMania season. Finally, we don't have to preview any more pay-per-views or talk about cards, except maybe the WrestleMania card. With a returning guest, Mr. Rob Schamberger. You guys can catch him on Twitter at Rob Schamberger as well, on his website, robschamberger.com. He's the guy who paints wrestlers, Jeff.
Guy that paints rosters. Yeah, that's a pretty good way to describe him. Rob, what's going on, man? How are you? Welcome back to the podcast.
Doing good. Thanks for having me back on.
Well, since a year's gone by, how you been, man? What have you been doing? Been keeping busy, obviously, with your amazing pieces that you do, not only that you put on shopw.com, but what else have you been up to?
Oh, I've just been traveling all over, which has been really cool, doing a lot of like comic book conventions, also, you know, going backstage pretty frequently to get prints signed or to paint at the different venues and just trying to stay on top of things and ride the wave while I can.
Well, speaking of comic book conventions, what do you think of the movie Logan?
I haven't had a chance to see it yet. I'm really looking forward to it.
You're going
to
like it. It's pretty close to the novel they did of Logan, the comic book, so it's really good. I think you'll enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to doing something other than just being in the studio.
You're always in the studio, man. When have you taken a break? Have you been nonstop, or when's the last time you even like took a break?
Let's see. I had a week off at the beginning of November.
that makes up for it there.
Yeah.
Rob, what I want to ask you too is what pieces besides WWE have you been working on right now to kind of take either maybe your mind off everything you're doing, because it seems like you're constantly traveling and doing a whole bunch of stuff too. Has there been anything you've done artwork wise that's not WWE related?
Yeah, I've got a side project I'm working on that I call She Changed the World, and it's about I'm doing portraits of women that had a long-lasting impact on human history, on the world. You know, a lot of stories that just aren't told, and it's cool being able to, you know, use the platform that I have to bring a little more attention to that.
That's interesting, Rob. I mean, you're kind of following up the whole Women's Revolution thing that WWE's got going, so you might as well just, you know, the women that impact the world and society. That's a pretty good idea. Who are the some of the people that you've you painted?
The most recent one, a gal named Hedy Lamarr. She was a big time actress in like from the 30s to the 50s, but she actually during World War II created the technology. At first it was used for torpedoes, but it's actually the technology that cell phones, Bluetooth technology, and like Wi-Fi is based on. You know, so like she's known for being an actress, but she actually did something that is actually allowing us to do this right now. I think that's pretty amazing.
Speaking of being recognized and known, I mean, we've had you on the show, like we said, almost a year ago now to the day, and it'll be great to see you heading into Florida. You're going to be at Access, correct, for WrestleMania weekend?
Yeah, I'm actually inside the door at Access this year.
Nice.
Before they would have me set up outside of the Superstore, and this year I'm moving in. I'm part of a ticketed event now.
Do you find it awkward in a way, because you're such a humble guy by nature, and now with everything you've been doing since the last year we saw you, have you seen yourself being more recognized now?
Yeah. You know, like occasionally I'll get stopped on the street, or someone will be, you know, like checking me out at Target, and they'll like see the name and realize it's me. Or the wildest one was I was at a comic book convention in Minneapolis last year, and a guy was just kind of walking with his dad, and you know, he was probably, I don't know, 15, 16, and he looks over and sees it's me, and he says, "You're Rob, and then passes out.
Wow.
Yeah.
How's that feel? This got to be like weird, but like you're big time now when someone passes out in front of you, man.
Yeah. I was asking some of the, you know, the wrestlers like how they deal with that, and I guess they haven't really had that, but I guess people were expecting them to be there.
Wow. Rob, what you said, ticketed event. What exactly do you have in store for the people that go see you there at the at Access?
Yeah, at Access, this year I'm painting live Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar. And we'll also have almost 50 different prints available. Half of them will be signed by the superstars. And one in particular that we're going to have at that show is a piece of the Four Horsewomen signed by all four of them. I expect that one to sell out pretty quick.
Wow, that's crazy. The Four Horsemen signature, that will go really fast. Rob, now also, so you're going to be there all 4 days. I think it'd be the 30th from 6 to 10 p.m., then the Friday the 31st, 5 to 9, then April 1st, 8 to 12, 1 to 5, 6 to 10 p.m., he does get his hour breaks, so they give that to you. And then also April 2nd, which is WrestleMania Sunday, you'll be there 8 to 12 p.m. I mean, I remember catching you last time. You're so gracious to take a picture with us. You know, how do you feel the fan interaction is going to be now that you're inside this time?
It'll be cool. It'll also make it so that, you know, like before, people would probably think like, oh, I can just come back and check them out later, and then whatever will take them along their way. But, you know, this time, like if they see me or they see like some artwork they want to get, like they need to get it right then, or, you know, like they may not get another chance.
So what you're saying is they can't take you for granted. So basically you're giving them the gift of Schamburger for so many years now that now they actually have to go there and pay their money. Very smart, smart move. Hopefully, Jeff, you and I do that one day as well. But you mentioned how you're doing is it going to be like a mural of Brock Lesnar Goldberg? Is that what you're doing at Access?
Yeah, that's what I'll be painting this year.
What do you think about the rivalry that's kind of built itself up? I'm sure you remember Goldberg, Lesnar at WrestleMania 20 and the build-up. I'm sure you've seen it, and that's why you're painting it. There's no doubt you're going to capture the mood and the intensity that both of these individuals bring. But what did yourself personally think of the rivalry that's going to lead up now they're going to be fighting for the Universal title at WrestleMania?
You know, I feel like this run with Goldberg, they're doing it right. I don't think anyone thinks that his last run with WWE was done right. And also, like, I think this is going to give a little new fire to Lesnar, right? Like, he probably got a little complacent running roughshod over everyone, and someone that he didn't expect to have his number has so far. And I think we're going to see, you know, a more vicious, more intense, if that's even imaginable, version of Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania.
Do you have the feeling it's going to be similar to the last two altercations that he's had with Bill Goldberg, where it's going to be quick just like that to regain some of that momentum he possibly may have lost for losing to Goldberg at the Survivor Series so quickly?
Well, I think Goldberg would be wise if he packed a lunch this time around. I think it's going to be a little more work. I think if it goes fast.
Well, not just pack a lunch, pack a couple ice packs too, right?
What's that?
I said not only pack a lunch, but pack a couple ice packs as well. Because
and have
it's not going to be ballet.
Like an ice bath waiting afterwards. Yeah,
exactly.
So these guys, Rob, they've shown, well, you had Survivor Series last 190 seconds. You had the, you know, WrestleMania when Goldberg was, you know, not still at his prime, you know. At 50, he's the Universal Champion, so, you know, you could say that he still, you know, maybe has it. But, you know, now you got to wonder, do you think anything over 5-10 minutes hurts the match? How do you see, like, what's your thoughts? How would you book this match?
You know, it depends on the shape everyone's in, but I think, you know, mostly comes down to the shape both guys are in, but also, you know, what the hoped for outcome is. You know, if Brock Lesnar wins, I think what's more interesting is what happens next, right? Like what happens Monday night. Because we've still got a guy out there that never actually lost the Universal title that's going to be wanting it back. I think that, you know, the potential of Finn Balor challenging Lesnar afterwards is really fascinating. Or, you know, like if you know, there's some hardcore aficionados out there that have seen Brock Lesnar versus Shinsuke Nakamura in New Japan, having that rematch, I think, is something that a lot of people would really enjoy seeing.
Yeah, no doubt about that. There's history there. Like you said, maybe some of the diehards, the hardcores, like Jeff and I, we have no life, and all we watch is professional wrestling, would probably agree to you on that point. Rob, I just think it's always exciting talking to you because, like Jeff and I have mentioned before, you're a very humble guy. Jeff and I have gone there. We've gone there because we've wanted to be a part of WrestleMania. We said one time we're going to do it at least once. This is about our fifth time, Jeff, I believe. We're going to go down out of sunny Florida. And I know, you know, living up here, Rob, on the East Coast, we definitely need the warm weather right now because we're dealing with snow and, you know, 20 degrees and sick of it. It's almost going to be spring and we're still going to be dealing with it. So that being said, for Jeff and I, it's more about the experience as fans and obviously us running and bringing the podcast to Florida and trying to, you know, talk to everybody we possibly can for the show. What's it like for you now that you're actually, you have been, you said before you were sitting outside of the Superstore, but now you're actually going to be part of it. What's that feeling like for you?
Oh, it's really cool. Is
it slightly different from last year?
Well, it's, you know, I've represented the company at a lot of, you know, like different conventions and the like, and they know that I'm professional, that I'm going to put together a professional exhibition and handle everything well. and that I've earned that trust with them, that you know, they have me there inside of Access, that not only are there a lot of fans from around the world coming in, but, you know, like a lot of their licensing partners and the like, that they know that I'm not going to do anything dumb there, that mm-hmm. you know, I'm going to be
you're going to be on your best behavior, basically.
Yeah. And yeah, having earned that is something that I don't take for granted.
How'd you feel this past Monday watching Bring It to the Table, which I think is a very good show? How'd you feel there, Peter Rosenberg, there plugging your shirt? That had to be something pretty like unexpected.
Yeah, that was really cool. He's worn my stuff out in public quite a few times. I think there was like a Nakamura one he wore at a basketball game, and like he made it up on the big screen. You know, and everyone like started blowing my timeline up with that. It's really awesome of him to do that. You know, like he and I have actually never talked in person. He just sees the shirts and likes them and wears them. And yeah, that he even gave, you know, called me out by name on the show was really unexpected and really cool of him to do.
It still feels kind of surreal for you, doesn't it? I can just tell from the way you're you know, describing the whole Rosenberg thing. It's still kind of surreal for you to this point right now to believe, like you've mentioned before, you've earned so much trust from the company now. You're going to be part of WrestleMania weekend officially. I mean, last year I'd say you still were, but again, this is official. You're going to be at Access. Do you still get starstruck? I know I asked you this last year, but is it more now just like you know these individuals, like the WWE superstars that come up, they respect you for what you do and they really admire your work. Is it more just of a mutual respect between you and the talent?
Yeah, and you know, we earn money off of each other, right? Like they all get a cut of the shirts and the artwork and stuff too. Yeah. So, yeah, you know, I'm backstage at the shows at least about once a month. So we all know each other pretty well. You know, several of them are, you know, friendly with my wife and everything now.
That's great.
So yeah, like the starstruck thing doesn't happen too often. You know, like if Ric Flair walks by, you know, I'll be cool. Or, you know, like the very few interactions I've actually had with Vince McMahon, you know, like I get a little tongue-tied still, you know.
He's still intimidating to you.
Well, you know, I definitely don't want to do anything embarrassing to where he's, you know, like, why are we working with this guy, damn it? You know, like I don't want that to happen.
That's a very good Vince impression. Wow, that's pretty good.
That's how you should break the ice, Rob. That is exactly how you should go up to them and be like, hey, you want to hear my Vince impression? Ah, you know. That, but, you know,
yeah.
Just a suggestion.
I love that.
Rob, the shirts that you make that are available on WDShop.com, you have your own you know, art print T-shirts there. Do you choose what the fabric that they get printed on, or because I have really found that the material that they use for your shirts and the other tees that are not cotton, I think those are much more better and have a better look. Do you have any selection on what the
material
images get printed on? Yeah.
Yeah, actually, when we were developing the line, I got to have a little bit of a input on that. They wanted something that was a little bit higher quality with it as well, and that was the right fit. It was something that I knew I wanted, because that's the kind of shirt I like as well.
Yeah, they're comfortable. You know, it's not like the cotton that sometimes you're, you know, you got to pull on it or whatever. It's just a nice fitted and breathable shirt, and those are the shirts that I go for. So I think you made a great pick there.
Oh, thank you. You have great taste.
I know I do. That's why we got you on the second time in 2 years.
Brian says
I have great taste. So you need to take everything you say bad about me back. Because
well, not everything Rob says is 100% accurate in my mind. But you know what? I don't hold that against him. I don't. And Rob, that's okay. You know, I mean, you just have to know Jeff a little bit more. And unfortunately, when you do get to know more, you'll come to realize that maybe you were wrong. But what I wanted to ask you and kind of follow up on what Jeff was saying about, you know, the material, and that's very important too, because, I mean, you're basically there, you're representing the company, but also you're representing yourself, because it's all your work and it's your prized possessions. And I can only assume it's kind of like, if I were to ask you what's your favorite piece you've done, it's like, oh, they're like my babies. Each one is a different type of feeling. You can't say which one's your favorite. My thing is, Jeff and I have been fortunate enough to have not only you, but very interactive and very interesting artist, and you're an artist by every stretch of the word because you do paint and you do things like that. I'm interested in the fact of, is there a process that goes in your mind when you do it? Do you write things down? Do you like wake up in the middle of the night and say, oh, that's a good idea for a piece? And where do you get your motivation from? Because in this day and age, a lot of people sometimes get complacent and sometimes they reach a certain point of success and they kind of stop there because they feel, well, I'm not going to change anything because I've gone this far. Are you still trying to, for example, go above and beyond what you particularly say is your best work?
Oh, sure. Making artwork is a process. Each piece that I do wouldn't have existed without the thousands of others that I did before it. Because I learn something new each time. I look at what worked, what didn't, why, and what, you know, like maybe happened accidentally that I could try to replicate. It's all a process. And also, like, this is how I make my money. So I can't get complacent because, a lot of times art falls out of style, right? Like a certain artist, their stuff falls out of style.
Mm-hmm.
There's some that stay popular, but there's others that don't. And I, have to make the most of what I'm doing at the moment, but I also need to continue to grow as an artist, because if I keep doing everything the same way, that'll get old. Because also, I'm not just an artist. I own a business. My business is selling my artwork. And businesses have to continue to grow or they'll go out of business. So I have to continue to approach it that way so that I can continue to not have to have a day job, because I am not cut out for having a day job. I like not wearing shoes all day.
Neither are we, Rob. We really want to, we're sick of our day jobs, so we're trying to get this thing going. So we want to end up being, we want to follow in the footsteps of Rob Schamberger. we were talking about not only access, but of course WrestleMania is the whole weekend. It's a full of festivities. We got the Hall of Fame coming up. You talked about on the last time you were here, you talked about what you did for the Ultimate Warrior, what you did for Connor. Now, when I think of you and I think of this certain wrestler, I'd be like, wow, this would have been great for Rob to design this guy's trunks at least.
I know we're talking
about Rick. We're talking about Rick Rude. Ravishing Rick Rude. You've got to have something in store that weekend for the Ravishing one. You have to.
Oh, I'm going to let you down. I'm sorry.
No, really? Wow. I would have thought.
But you just gave him an idea, so who knows?
What do you think, though? I think that you would have had fun designing stuff for him, had he still been here or had he been wrestling. What are your thoughts on the Hall of Fame? Who are you excited to see?
It's a really strong class this time around. Of course, the headliner with Kurt Angle, coming back into the fold. That's awesome. Cheap plug, the only piece of Kurt Angle merchandise you can get from WWE right now is one of my t-shirts.
Buy the shirt, guys.
Yeah, we've become acquainted through work that we do with the Dan Gable Museum, and I'm really, glad to see him back home. Ricky Morton and, just both of them going in is unexpected. They didn't really make their name in WWE, so it's cool to see them going in. I got to pass a bottle of hooch back and forth with Ricky Morton in a parking lot at nighttime one time while he was dropping one-liners.
What a lucky guy, Rob.
Yeah, so I'm excited for that. And also, of course, Beth Phoenix, who is just one of the all-time greats and such an incredibly sweet woman. Like, she has, transformed herself into being a mom, and she is amazing at that. And it's really well-deserved with her. She's just so genuinely sweet, such a good person. I'm excited for her.
You know, and a lot of people want to, like, I guess want to question whether her being in the Hall of Fame, but she has pretty good credentials. And I know a lot of people are going to bring up, you know, China, Miss Elizabeth, and how are they not there first. But if you look at Beth Phoenix's credentials, I mean, she's had a pretty impressive career, and I think is really deserving to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, absolutely. And also there's a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff that needs to happen. You know, for the Hall of Fame, you know, whether it, you know, like the two other names that you listed off there aren't around anymore. So I have no inside knowledge of this, but I know that there could be the possibility of something with the estate needing to be worked out or other factors. So, Beth is great and she earned it.
No, she definitely did earn it. Like Jeff said, she had a very good resume, did a huge impact. And, you know, I don't remember being in the WWE for that long, unfortunately, due to injuries, but she made a huge impact and well-deserved for her because, like you said, she's made the transition to a full-time mom. She seems to be really happy, and we're happy for her as well. So great to enjoy that type. Like Jeff mentioned before, it's a huge weekend. It's basically a huge week. The weekend's glorified because it's the Hall of Fame. You have NXT TakeOver, then you have, you know, WrestleMania, then Raw, and then SmackDown afterwards. Is there one particular thing besides the fact that you are now part of the events that you look forward to the most when you get there? Is it really just like you're kind of in some way used to it, so it's really more of a routine for you?
I'm excited for my part that I play. Mm-hmm. That's my primary concern because that's what I'm there for. And making sure that the people that come by get the best experience possible with, you know, when they interact with me. For WrestleMania itself, the part I'm most excited for is that I'll be done with my part by then,
and that he'll be in the press box. Like, he really is. He was last year.
$15 beer and be happy.
$15 beer. Wow.
Last year you said you're going to be in one of the press boxes, right?
No, I was, you know, just in the regular area, but it was at WrestleMania 30. I got to watch from Warrior's box.
Yeah, see, so yeah, I mean, listen, it's become like a whole event. Have you made the trip to Florida before? Or is this your first time?
I actually went to WrestleMania 24 as a fan, okay. And it'll be cool to go back there now, being part of it.
I know. Again, it goes back to the whole thing that I was talking about from the beginning—a very, surreal moment for you. Are you going to be there for the entire festivities, or is it more once WrestleMania is over, you're packing up and you're gone?
Well, Monday I'll pretty much just hang out and recuperate, and then Tuesday
get
we
sober.
Start driving back.
Yeah. Get sober, right?
well. Just sleep, probably.
Yeah.
You know, the cool thing about it too, Rob, is that you're talking about how you saw WrestleMania 30 from Warrior's box, right? Can you believe it now? It's going back to New Orleans. Do you think it's too soon? Do you think it's just right? Or are you just looking forward to it because you get to go back to New Orleans, kind of where it all started?
Yeah. It's I don't know that it's too soon. Especially since it's a destination show, you know, like it's not really dependent on the locals. You know, a good chunk of the ticket sales are from people traveling into it. This time with New Orleans, I'm hoping to actually get to see the city. Most of the guys, I'm part of the saying that I've been to pretty much every major city in the country, and I've seen none of them. Because I go there to work, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I get there, I go to the venue, I work, and then I go on to wherever I'm going next.
Get a couple of drinks at Bourbon Street, and then you go to the hotel. It's pretty.
Oh, man, I didn't even have time for that last time.
We're
going to change that, Rob. The next time you go down there, we'll make sure that's different. But we promise we won't get you in any trouble or anything like that.
No, we won't. You have a lovely wife there, Rob, so we wouldn't want to have to part with the Schamburger estate too soon.
Jeff will be doing all the naching for us.
Yeah, we'll be doing the naching for you. Rob, listen, last time we had you, every year you keep – you know, achieving success. And every year, you know, we're very happy for you. And, you know, next year, sky's the limit. what, again, last year you gave a great message of what you say to people that want to follow their dream. What do you want to leave us with, a, you know, how to live out your dream this year?
I would say find something that you want to do and put in the work to actually make it happen. Don't expect anyone to do it for you, because they're not going to. And if you put in the research, the legwork, the work itself, it will happen. You know, if you want it enough, it will happen. Someone said that to me once when I was younger, and I'm like, yeah, whatever, old man. But it panned out. It's true. If you don't give up, if you want it enough and you keep doing it, it will happen.
Well, the old man was pretty wise, because you're living the dream, man. And I wouldn't even say we're envious. We're just so happy for you, Rob, because I think Jeff and I look at, you know, all the stuff that you've gone through in terms of how to, you know, work and the whole story of how you got started in it. And now you're working with WWE and you're going to these events, and it's kind of like surreal. But at the same time, what's so important for me, at least, to get a perspective, and hopefully people are listening to the show too, is that, you know, you haven't changed. You're still the same person you are, and success hasn't changed. You know, I think that's a really important thing to learn, and it's a huge lesson for people to realize. Okay. And unfortunately, it doesn't really happen. So we're really thankful for you to give us your time. And you know, if you have a free time, man, we gotta meet. And I'm not saying the classic pointing finger at the camera thing. We have to see if you're gonna be busy, we know, but hopefully we get a chance to catch up with you for Drinks on Us or Jeff.
Look forward to it.
We look forward to it.
Rob, thank you so much again. Rob Schamberger, follow him on Twitter at Rob Schamberger on robschamberger.com.
He is the WWE artist extraordinaire, Jeff.
That's what we put on our description for the show. WWE artist extraordinaire, Rob Schamberger. Thank you so much, man.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
And we'll see you down at WrestleMania, so take care, man.
All right.
And thanks goes out to Rob Schamberger. Great to have him back on again. A two-time guest here on the show. He is the WWE artist extraordinaire. You guys can catch him on Twitter and all things he's up to at Rob Schamberger, as well as make sure you follow his website as well, robschamberger.com. All the things he does and the artwork he does, Jeff, is just a small part of him. Ultimately, he's a fan at heart, and it's amazing when you hear his story, and we talked about it again a little bit during this interview too. It's just it's proof, Jeff, that if you work hard enough, you can live your dreams, and Rob's living proof of that.
Yeah, I know, man. Great for him. He just keeps getting, you know, just more successful year after year. So, you know, just what we want to do, you know, we want to be as successful as Rob Schamberger, and he has a great story and great few words of inspiration there to leave us with, and just talk about, hey, listen, you know, don't think anybody's going to give you anything. You got to go for it and make the time for it. So he will be at WWE Access during WrestleMania weekend. He'll be there March 30th from 6 to 10 p.m. The 31st of March, 5 to 9 p.m. April 1st, he'll be there from 8 to 12 noon, then back 1 to 5 p.m., and then 6 to 10 p.m. So they do give him an hour lunch. That's good. That's good. Good for him. And then WrestleMania Sunday. Exactly, and then after that, he'll be there WrestleMania Sunday from 8 a.m. to 12 noon. So, hey, listen, man.
He's a busy guy.
Doing his thing.
Just like ourselves.
His thing. Hopefully, we will catch up with him, maybe get at least a quick picture with him at WrestleMania. But, listen, great interview, great guy, great guest. Yes. Two-time guest on the High Spot Podcast. But, Brian, one thing that we also got to talk about is we don't talk about just WWE. How about congrats to Christopher Daniels for winning the Ring of Honor title from Adam Cole this past week. A guy that's really just been dedicated to his craft, a veteran of got to be more than 15 years in the business, and just a great, great week for him to become the new ROH champ. So congratulations from the High Spot Podcast. Well deserved.
Yeah, you basically said everything. I couldn't say anything more because you basically said.
No, I'm about to say. I thought I bored you to your death, so I didn't want to do that.
So it's just great that he has that moment because, you know, similar to Rob Schamberger, I'm not going to compare the two, but, you know, he's living his dream and he's doing what he wants to do. And to me, well-deserved because he's been one of the hardest workers and a really good worker for a really long time. So nice to see he's been rewarded with the Ring of Honor title. So, you know, like I said, it won't be the last time Ring of Honor is going to be talked about here. We're not just WWE. We talk about other promotions out there. But maybe after WrestleMania weekend, and once we're done with sunny Florida, which I hope will be a long time from now in terms that we're going to enjoy the ride. We'll be speaking more about those types of promotions as well as WrestlePro too. So looking forward to that as well. And, you know, the weeks get shorter and shorter. That song that keeps getting stuck in my head, Jeff, it's still there. And those days are getting smaller and smaller by the day and the minute. So I can't wait for that. So it's going to be really exciting to be down there in Florida.
Oh, yeah. Looking forward to it, man. Just one more episode. And that will be with Graham Matthews from BleacherReport.com. So that's going to be interesting next week. Graham Matthews will join us. We will actually, you know, just preview because we should be winding down now. The card should be set in stone by next week. So we'll talk with him. And then after that, we will actually have our own WrestleMania preview show. And we'll give you our top 10 WrestleMania matches of all time. So looking forward to you. We have a full slate of stuff for you heading towards the big event in Orlando on April the 2nd. So, man, lots to look forward to. I'm excited. Let's get the next episode in the bag with Graham Matthews.
Definitely, definitely. You guys have been listening to the High Spot Podcast. Catch us on Twitter at High Spot Podcast. For the Jersey Wrecking Crew, Jeff Martin, I am Brian Berger. Thank you so much for listening to the show. We will catch you next week. And after this episode, your life is just going to be too
sweet. Buy the shirt.